Y'all remember the acronym? What FEAR is an acronym for? False evidence appearing real. Fear is false. I like it when he said fear is a liar. It's a liar. I pray with my eyes open. It ain't that I look around, but old Mike, he scooted off stage with them crutches. That boy was looking sharp, wasn't he? I pray with my eyes open. I don't want to miss nothing. And I may talk about that a little bit, praying with your eyes open. We're still in the book of Daniel. We will be for probably one more week after next. And today and next week, we're going to talk about how to pray the kind of prayer that God answers. I mean, if you're going to pray, you might as well get one that he'll answer, right? So you might as well do it correctly. And so today we're going to look at how to pray in a crisis. And I hope you're not in a crisis right now. I really hope and pray that you're not, but you will be. Someday you're going to be in a crisis. So you need to take notes no matter where you're at in your life so that one day you want to come back to this and do what God tells you to do. So let's get right into it. There's six steps to it. And you'll notice in your outline I got three. I'm only going to do two today. They got rather lengthy, and I really got into it. I probably spoke about one longer than I anticipated, but that's all right. We're just going to talk about two of them today. You'll thank me for it later. But if you want to go to Daniel chapter 9, just hang out in there in your Bible. We're going to talk about the first through the 23rd verses about how to pray in a crisis. This is the very first step of how to pray in a crisis. Is this, number one, let God speak to me before I speak to him. Let God speak to me before I speak to him. This step I'm calling is the listening step. The listening step. Listen to the voice of God. Well, how do you do that? And I'm going to explain how you do that, but first I think there's a principle that you and I need to understand. This is the principle you and I need to understand if you want to write this down, is that God always makes the first move in your life. You don't. God always makes the first move. I'm going to interrupt something right here. Come on up here, Houston. Houston, come up here. I'm a man of my word. I want you to open us up in prayer.
Dear Lord, we pause at this time. We don't ask for many good things. We just ask for forgiveness and where we failed you at. And dear Lord, be with the people that don't know you and let them know you right now. And then let the people in Iberia and in Africa, let them have good food and let them know that you're right there to take care of them. And dear Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If that don't put some lead in your pencil, hallelujah. That young man asked me to open us up in prayer. I believe the Holy Spirit said, yeah. It don't matter. That was powerful. Thank you, Houston. God's always the initiator in your life. He's always the initiator in my life. We're the responder. He initiates, we respond. He always moves first. He never expects me and you to make the first move. He says we love him, but he first loved us. He said we serve him, but he first served us. He made the first move. We were in trouble, and he sent Jesus Christ to die for us before we knew we was in trouble and to reconcile us back to him. He knew we had a problem before we knew we had a problem. And we give to God before because he first gave us. God's never going to ask you and me to do something that he hasn't already done for us. He always makes the first move. And it's true with prayer. The reason that we pray is because God has already talked to us. Do you know how he talks to us? This book. The Bible. That's how he talks to us. And so that's why we pray. This thing is filled with thousands of promises. And we can claim these promises in prayer. We can claim them. But prayer starts with listening and not talking. That's where it starts. Now, how do you listen to God? By reading this book. You can listen to it on MP3. My first notes I wrote, this is telling my age, listen to it on tape. I thought, you're a goon, Jim. Nobody has a tape player anymore. 8-track, yeah. but let God talk to you. And then you're going to know how to pray. So you listen to him. And that's what Daniel taught us. He's 85 now. We've been in the book of Daniel now for 4 or 5 months. It's been a long time. But I tell you, I've loved it. I told the ladies in the 8 o'clock service, it's been my favorite book so far. But it seems like every one of them become my favorite book when we study on them. But he did this. He listened to God. Then he prayed. He's 85 now. 5 months ago we started, he was 15. 70 years. You know, we've seen him go through multiple tests. We've talked about it. We've seen him go through three kings. He's on his third king and his second administration. He's been through wars. He has thrived, not just survived, through conspiracies and death attempts. Daniel is thriving. Here he is, 85, and he wants to go home before he dies. He wants to go home. And he knows, because in the book of Jeremiah, it says, God told him, I'll keep you there 70 years. And he done figured it up. I'm 85, got here when I was 15. I'm about to go home. And he gets homesick. But he also knows that the people there with him aren't ready to go back home. They're spiritually messed up. And here it is, time's up. Time's up. And he's afraid that God's going to, he's kind of scared that God's not going to let them go back home because they're screwed up. They're messed up. And so this is his crisis. He's afraid he's going to be kept in Babylon. Daniel 9, 1 and 2 on your outline says this. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, who was made king of the Babylonians by Syria. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the scriptures. Underline studying the scriptures. And then I learned from the word. Underline learned from the word. Because I want to go back to those two. As recorded by Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. We're talking about Iraq and Iran here, modern day Iraq and Iran. And we're talking about studying the scriptures and learn from the word. Here's why I want you to underline those things. I want you to remember this. You will never learn to pray effectively until you do these two things from this book every day. Study the scriptures, learn the word. You will never pray effectively until you've done that. Amen? You will never pray effectively, because the more you know this book, the more prayers that you're going to have answered. The more you know this book, the more prayers you're going to have answered. If you're ignorant of this book, you don't know how to pray. Period. If you're ignorant of this book, you don't know what to pray. You don't know where to pray, and you don't know when to pray if you're ignorant of this book. You got to know this book. You got to know the promises that God has given us and has made to you. I got a wonderful text this morning. This is the way his daughter, she's 19, remembers Scripture. Ricky Davis sent me a picture of his daughter's painting. As she said, it said, mountains may crumble, but God will not. Isaiah 50:14. That right there ought to get you kindled to burn it too. But see, that's just one simple. I'm not talking about memorizing a whole book. I'm talking about memorizing something you can hang your hat on to. The mountains may crumble, but God will not. That gives you confidence. That makes you strong. All I'm saying is read a little bit of this book every single day of your life. Just a little dab will do you. Every day. Learn the promises that God has made for you. Let me read you something out of John. I'm reading the John by LaHaye this week, that book. It's really good, but I want to, and I came across John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So my question for you is, are you staying connected to God? Are you out of whack with God? Is the Bible in your mind and heart? Ask, if it is, then ask anything you want. And I'll say this, if you're not getting anything, then you're not meeting these two conditions. You're not meeting the two conditions. It's on you. Don't tell me God ain't answering my prayers. It's your fault. It's your fault. The more you memorize, the more you fill your mind with this book, the more answers that you're going to have. So fill your mind with this book. Did you hear him pray? He's been filling his mind with this book. You got to fill your mind with this book. This is so important. You're going to have answers in your life. Simple thing, never go to bed without reading a little bit of this book. I know I'm the one that says get up in the morning and read it. Yeah, do that. But don't go to bed without reading just a little bit. Your Bible should not have dust on it. Just read a little bit. Just a verse. I know some of you say, I just can't read. I'll fall asleep. I bet you can get through one verse. You know, just read one verse and talk to God about it as you sleep. Daniel did. He did it. I've talked to God several times this morning before I got here, before I came up here. I'm talking about just breath prayers. A lot of times, my prayers help me. Or my most famous one during the day is, for me, is, what's next, Lord? What's next? And I want to teach you these habits of praying several times a day, because it will make you strong. It will make you confident. Amen. It will make you less fearful. The mountains will crumble, but God will not. He will not depart. It just won't happen. So you got to develop this habit. You develop this habit, you'll become less stressful. If you have an ongoing conversation with God, I'm telling you, just have an ongoing conversation with God. Many times during the day, if I'm interrupted talking to God with somebody at work, it happens sometimes I have to work, and I'll come back to, I say, okay, God, here's where we were. Like he don't know. It will improve every single area of your life. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Now, Daniel's in a crisis, you know, so he starts reading the book of Jeremiah, and he starts getting hope. I want to read you my wife's favorite verse. God says this to you. You will be kept in Babylon for 70 years. But then I'll keep my gracious promise to bring you back to your home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans for your disaster. My plans will give you hope and a future. In those days when you pray, I will listen. I will listen. And that's nothing that'll tear you up, ain't it? That's a good one. That's what we call in Rockmar. That's a good one. That's a good one. That he promises us success. He didn't say, I woke you up this morning to give you defeat. He gave us success to give you hope and a future. God says that to you. But lots of times we leave off this last sentence in this verse. In those days when you pray, I will listen. Guys, he made you and me for a purpose. And he has a plan for our life, but it's not automatic. You can miss it. There are two factors involved in you and me fulfilling our purpose for our life. Write them down real quick. There's two factors: God's timing and my praying. That's what's involved. God's timing and my praying. Both of them have an important role in what God wants to do in your life. God's timing is this: when he's going to do it. Your praying is when you ask him to do it. He's got a plan for you. He didn't create you without a purpose. You ain't no blob of skin and blood and fat and water. You got a purpose. God's plan is good, but he has a timetable. He has a timetable, and he ain't cutting it short. You're not going to intervene to make him cut it short. His time is right. When you pray, here's what I want to tell you this morning. Some of you guys don't believe it. God is in control, but you have some responsibility. He is in control. I can't stand to hear somebody say, well, just God's in control. I know that's obvious, but you got some responsibility too. You got some. We still got to pray. He ain't going to force his plans on you. You know, you still got to ask. James 4:2 says, you don't have what you need because you don't ask. There's some things that ain't happened in your life because you just simply haven't asked for. You haven't asked for. You got some responsibility. It's not automatic. It puts us in a quandary sometimes. I couldn't wait to say that word, quandary. Not many times I get to use the word with a Q in it, but quandary. How do I know? Here's my quandary. I've said it over the limit now. How do I know when I'm waiting on God, and then how do I know when God's waiting on me? Y'all ever been in that quandary? Say quandary if you have. Yeah, all of us been in that quandary, because it's a quandary that's tough. And here's how I know. If I've asked God to do something great in my life, and I've prayed about it, and I've asked about it, and there's something, and there's nothing between me and God, as far as I know, and I'm doing what he wants me to do, I'm connected to the vine, I'm in harmony with him, I'm reading the Bible, I'm with him, and I haven't had the answer yet, guess what? I'm waiting on God. Because I'm doing my part. I'm responsible. So that's where I'm at on that. No longer in the quandary on that. But on the other hand, I want God to do something great in my life that I've always wanted God to do, but I've never asked for God's help. I've never asked for God's guidance. I've never asked for his instruction. Guess what? God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you responsible. You have not because you ask not. He's waiting on you. So I want to ask you, what do you really want in life? But you've never asked God for it. And if you're connected to him, you're doing it, you're praying, you're doing everything that he asks you to do. He says you can ask for anything. But first you got to stop and listen to God before you talk to him. Because when you stop and listen to God, you just may not ask for all that silly stuff. But stop and listen to God. Secondly, we got to focus our attention on God. Focus my attention on God. This is the second step for our prayers, the kind of prayers to get answered. Daniel 3 in the ESV version. So I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him. It turned my face. Turn my face. Now, I don't do this very often, and I don't know why. It's just because I'm a stupid, silly man. But when Angie's talking to me, and I turn my face to her, you know what? She likes that. She likes that. When I just look. So that's just a little marriage tip for you guys for free today, all right? When your wife talks to you and you turn your face to her, you turn your face to her and you look at her, she's going to like that. You know why? Because you have given her your undivided attention. You're focused. Go home and do that. You score big time, I'm telling you. When my kids were little, you know what? I can still see it. And Dad, you know what I'm talking about. It happens to you too. When my kids were little, I can still feel their hands on my cheeks saying, Daddy, look at me. Daddy, look at me when I'm talking to you. That's all this word is saying. Focus. Focus on God. Focus on God. When I pray to God for the most part, I look up. That's how we focus on God. I look up with my eyes open. With my eyes open, I look up and I pray. Now, sometimes I'm in the recliner, but I'm still looking up. I pray for Fender Friday from my recliner looking up. I cut the TV off and I looked up and I asked to pray for my nephew. I said, God, I need you to heal him. God, the word says by your stripes we're healed. And he's hurting. And I'm asking you, Lord, like you parted the Red Seas, to part that traffic from my knees to get to the hospital. But if you don't know the word, if you don't know the promises, you can't ask for it. Focus your attention. Focus your attention on God. So we're distracted. And I'm going to tell you something. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't it just make you wonderful when your kids put their phone down? Instead of saying, Luke, 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 Luke. But when they put the phone down and they focus their attention on you, God's got to like that when we look at. So don't worry about praying with your eyes open and your head toward God. Don't think you got to bow and all that. You can pray with your eyes open and your head up. Amen? You can. Just look up. A lot of times, I'll be honest with you, when I pray with my eyes closed and head bowed, with my ADD, I get to thinking about all kinds of things. My mind goes all over the place. The New American Standard says, so I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer. So the second step to this kind of prayer being answered is seeking. We went to listening, and now we're seeking. And we're going to talk about seeking more. We're going to be on it for a while, too, up toward Easter. But I'm going to give you some verses about seeking. Book of Amos says, seek me and you shall live. See, I ain't talking about existing. You know, for years, until 19 years ago, I just existed. But I'm living now because I'm seeking. I'm living. I'm the best I've ever been and getting better every day because I'm living, not just existing, and it's because I'm seeking. Proverbs says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. Do you want to be loved? Do you want to find him? You got to seek him. Jeremiah says, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, with all your emotions. Hebrews says, God rewards those who earnestly seek me. Do you want to be rewarded in your marriage? Do you want to be rewarded in your business? Do you want to be rewarded with your children? Seek Him. If you don't seek Him, then you're on your own. Tell me how that works out for you. Book of Luke says, seek first the kingdom of God. Didn't Adam Tool talk about that a couple of weeks ago? Seek first the kingdom of God. His priorities, not yours. His priorities. He says, because when you seek first the kingdom of God, all the other things you will need will be given to you. Don't seek wealth. Don't seek pleasure, fame, or don't even seek a spouse. Seek God first. Seek God first. God blesses the people who put Him first. I'm going to go on record and just say this. You be mad at me all you want to. But a lot of the pain and the trouble that you're in right now is the result of you not seeking God. That's the result. You didn't ask God. You bought something without asking God. You went on a date with someone without asking God. You got into a relationship without asking God about it. You made a decision without talking to God about it first. In every area. You want to blame everybody else, and it's your fault. Anytime we ignore God, anytime we ignore His help, God just backs off. He just backs off because God only goes where He's invited. He only goes where He's invited. You didn't ask me if you should date her. You didn't ask me if you should have bought that car. You didn't ask me. You know, and now you're going to reap the results. But here's what's neat. I'm going to tell you some good news. I done told y'all the bad news and read your title. You can look in the book of Hosea when you get down and all that. He says, just ask me and I'll come back. He says, just call out my name and I will come back. Hosea says, God just went to heaven. But when you and I return to Him, when we return to this word, He will come back. Sometimes folks like me and you, we don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. So what needs healing in your life? If you had to answer that question right now, what needs healing in your life? Is it physical? Is it relational? Is it financial? Is it emotional? Is it mental? Then I want to tell you this morning to refocus your attention to God. Look up. Look up. Now, I'm winding this up, but I want you to consider some things. You can write this down too if you want to. Now, this like I said, this may make you mad, but truth will set you free after it makes you mad. But is it possible that the pain that you're going through right now is because you didn't seek God? But you just went ahead. You just went ahead and made a decision without checking in with Him. Is it possible? I'd say it's highly probable. Then the second question is this. What are you really looking for in your life? What are you really, really looking for? Girl's painting really touched me this morning. So I want to put it in that word. If you were to paint a picture of what you wanted for the rest of this year, what would it be like? What would you paint out? If you were to paint a picture of what you wanted your life to be for the rest of 2017, what would it be like? Don't you think that's worth seeking? Don't you think that's worth listening for a few days for? And seeking Him and refocusing your attention? Like I said, we're going to be talking about seeking God and seeking His kingdom. Adam's really got me tore up about that. And that's all I got to say today. Are you listening? Where are you at? Is it possible some of the things that you're going through right now of your own demise? Are you blaming others? Are you blaming others? And you made some decisions without checking God first? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, will you, oh Lord, we love you. God, I know that you love us, and I know that you delight in us, and I know that you are near. And I ask you, Lord, that there's some folks that want to be healed. There's some folks in a financial bind. There's some folks in a relational bind. There's some folks looking for relationships. I pray, Lord, that they seek you first. That whatever we're doing, whatever we're doing, we've put sports ahead. We've put fame ahead. But, Lord, we want to change that today. And I ask you to come back. Come back to us. As we come back to you. Oh, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.